There we go. God bless. Hey, good to see you today. I'm glad to be back here. Good to see you. A lot of you I recognize. I'm going to go see Brother Richardson. Good to see you. And met Brother Johnson this morning. And there's several of you I've been seeing ever since I've been coming up here. And you've been faithful people. And it's a different day, isn't it? Different. But God's not changed. And the gospel's not changed. We just got to keep doing what we know to do. And I'm going to get out of here and preach. I'm looking forward to hear Brother Johnson. Yesterday was one of them days. It was getting to the airport. It was just great. It was hot. Over 100 degrees. Right out of the way. Got to the airport. Plenty of time. I'm breathing. And I look up and the sky's black. It starts raining. And rain and rain and lightning thunder. And so I couldn't take off. When I got there 2 hours early, I always try to. And then I actually got there 4 hours late and still made it. It wasn't, it just kept on and on and on, which I don't mind. But I'm seated where I'm supposed to be. I got stuff with me. I can work, I can work and study and read stuff and ideas. But I got my stuff left. Because I guess they left it sitting on the runway out there on the, not the runway, but the, man, I got in the bus, I got my Bible, some of them got wet. I got Bibles laying all over a bunch of them trying to dry them out. My clothes, all my clothes. And that kind of stuff, And, but anyhow, I made it. And I got down this morning thanking the Lord that everything's all right. So we're going to do our best to be a blessing. I love your preacher. I don't get, I was thinking a while ago, some of the, my favorite people, I don't get to see them much. I don't get to see them. Man, he came to our place a while back and I didn't know he was preaching. And Brother Dale and some of Brother Richards, I don't get to see these men. But I love them and I thank them and I pray for you. I pray for you regularly. But I pray for your church and I know everybody's been facing the same kind of stuff. Coast to coast. It's been bad. Some places, Brother Johnson's state, it's even harder. And some places, and ours has not been real good. Ours has been more easy. He's a liberal. And he's not from the church. And he tried to, he was marching with rioters, and then no mask on that one. That's like 10 people. That don't make no sense to me. If you want to protest, go get good. Don't stop us from going to church. It is what it is. We've been going on now for a while. We've been online like you are and have been. Then we got on the parking lot. And then we went inside. Leaving that little pew empty and all that kind of stuff. I ain't sure that that helps. I'm doing everything. I'm spending, hand sanitizer and staying clean, staying out of people's faces. I've done that for you while I've come along. So I didn't have changed the way about any of that. And I don't even just keep doing that kind of stuff. You'd be all right. And if God wanted to get that virus, I wouldn't get it anyhow. And I'm going to make the best of it, do the best I could, and try to get through it, and move on. And I know there's people that are literally scared to death. Let me tell you a little story. I preach. I was on the airplane Saturday coming back from Michigan, and a flight attendant. I got home, I was reading my Bible, and I always got my books and my Bibles and stuff out where I'd study. You know, 200 or 300 flights, stuff done, And about 30 or 40 minutes before we landed, this flight attendant, 20, I guess it's 25 or so, looked like a little bit sitting on the arm of a chair across the aisle from me. And he said, "Sir, can you help me?" And I said, "Well, I'm sure you will. If I can, I thought maybe you'd want me to. I was doing something wrong or something. You had my feet out in the aisle or something." he said, I'm being overcome with fear. I'm scared to die. And this is what he said. I'm afraid to die. And if there is a God, could I know it? Could I get to it? Is there any way to get to it? And can I know that? And I told him to show the Bible. And I said, son, when you're 65, you call 25 year old son. I said, son, let me tell you something. I got good news. First, I'm going to give you bad news. You are going to die. I said, you're good news. I said, second thing is, there is God, and you've got to face it. And it's the judgment. The third thing, God made provision for the judgment. And I said, and I showed him the plan of salvation. And that boy prayed. We was in seat number two, you know, on the airplane. The whole plane was watching. And that boy volunteered up here praying. And I was able to send him the Bible that came in a letter. He lived in Charlotte, so I'm trying to hook him up with the church that I'm getting, because that's a good way for me. I get in the church. But you know, sometimes, you know, people get saved because they hear faith coming by hearing the word of God. I've talked to thousands of people that I approach them. You know, sometimes if you're doing what's right, you know what I mean? John the Baptist, they heard him, but they watched letters. Some people believe because they've seen what man has done. You know, sometimes you do what's right and you tell them what's right. I just read my Bible. You know, if you are saved, you ought to look saved. I'm going to tell you, when I fly, I look the same. I look around. But I'm glad I didn't have my clothes packed some bad last night. My name tags would have been a mess. I had to go buy a suit recently. I look like he's everywhere I go. This is it. It's not every day. And I read the same book on the airplane. I have the same Bible. And I'm not ashamed of it. I come to carry it to the airport yesterday because I was trying to get to the gate. And I was trying to get the messenger to get their attention. I was running through the airport with the man. I said, hey, man, what's the message? I said, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He said, that's a good message. I said, it's the only message. Christ saved sinners. And I told that woman, my hand broke on my bag, you know, y'all worked on it for me. I told the woman last night, I said, ma'am, is there any way I can find this thing like this? I said, look, I've never prayed on it. She didn't go down. I said, God meant for it to fly the way it is. Because I've never prayed and asked God to fix it, and I've checked it, and nothing else. And it won't go down. She said, well, if you prayed, she won't go down. We're going to put it on there the way it is. I said, thank you. That's what I need to know. I said, hey, man, well, you take your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis. I wrote a few thoughts down on a piece of paper, Brother Manny, and I'm going to give it to you. This is not really a sermon. This is just something to keep you, little brother. Johnson preaches to you a little bit. This is something the other day that God gave me a thought. And I just want to share it with you. Genesis chapter 5. And verse 21 says, Brother Bill, thank you for having me. And I appreciate you and I love you a little bit. I'm not a good pastor. Even though I get convicted, I can see how good you get things fixed up. And your parking lot, your building, everything looks great. And so you've not wasted time. You've been there. Genesis chapter number 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, age 65. Boy, I hate to say that, I'd start raising kids right now. I'm glad mine's grown. Now I love them grandbabies coming around. 65 when he had children. Now look at this. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. But after he had Methuselah, he walked with God 300 years. Now, he may have walked with God in 65 before that, but it doesn't say that he did. But you know what? If a man ain't got a reason to walk with God, if you do, but if you ain't got one, when you get a youngin', you're going to get some reason. Because they're following you. And maybe he got to think about that. He said, you know what? I got a boy following me now. I'm going to walk with God. Well, he's walking to God now 300 years, and he had sons and daughters, had some more. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, here's a picture of the rapture. And then it says, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. He's 187 years old in heaven. So, and Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now, wait a minute, let me show you the difference. The only thing you give credit to Methuselah is he got old. He still holds the world record, and I doubt it'll be broken. 969 years, and he died. But that's the only thing you can attribute to it. Now, he might have been a great man. I don't know. He might have been a soldier. I don't know. I don't know what all he did, but I can tell you what he did. It doesn't say he walked with God. It just says he had some children. And he lived 969 years. Now, here's what the thought in his list. Enoch walked with God. And Methuselah walked with Enoch. But after Enoch was took out, then some had been walking with God. Now, let me show you the problem. The problem is he walked with his daddy that walked with God. And after his daddy died, then said nobody walking with God. Enoch walked with God, and Methuselah walked with Enoch. To me, that's what it's saying. Now, in Jude, verses 14, 15, Enoch walked with God. He was a preacher, the Bible said, of righteous. He preached on the second coming. And brother, he didn't do his preaching. He practiced it. He left out, didn't he? And old Noah, he went through the flood, but God spared him, you know. But he not didn't have to go through none of that. You know, he was a type of what we are with the church. He got raptured out. And I got news for you. We're not going through no tribulation. You mark this down, brother. I'm pulling out my land as fair as a day for there in such place. But what I'm trying to say, he was a preacher of righteousness, and he stood right. He did right. He not did right. Walked with God. And his son might have. I'm not saying he did. But it doesn't say that he walked with God. And here's my thought. Enoch walked with God. Who are you walking with? Let me just show you another picture. Let me just pray, then I'll this is not really a sermon, just to get you thinking a little bit. Father, I pray now as we talk about this a little bit. This is not a sermon. It wasn't even really meant to be a sermon. It's a thought that I got. And I do pray that this will be a provoking thought, and it provokes somebody to get where they're plugged in, to think about where they're plugged in. Lord, it matters when we're plugged in the man of God. Because if we're plugged into man, it ain't gonna matter too much. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us today to see the need to be walking with God. In Christ's name, amen. Now, Enoch walked with God 300 years after his boy was born. And God took him to rapture. Now, I'm gonna say something else. Abraham walked with God. And he did. He walked with God. But let me tell you, his nephew, Lot, walked with Abraham. Now, you know something? I don't know about Abraham, Brother Bill. He was the friend of God. Now, brother, you're doing something. God said, there's my friend over there. I mean, the friend of God. And let me tell you something, buddy. God kicked a honey bucket over on Abraham. I was reading about it this morning. I mean, the blessed was over. And let me tell you something. Hey, the thing you can do about them Jews. I seen one yesterday. I wanted to run and pray with him in the airport, but I didn't. He was asking the woman. He was late for some flight. He was trying to run. I would just run and pray with him. That's God's blessing. I said, why? Because God said, he'd bless them, bless them. Amen. Yeah. I preached at the church last week and had American flags all down the sidewalk, stuff up in front of the church, and they had one Israeli flag. And I told them I thanked them for it. Because let me tell you, I don't know why America's still here. Now, my opinion is this. My opinion is this. What America's doing for missions and America's sticking with the Jews, you better thank God for Donald Trump. I don't know who's sitting down here. I'm just telling you. You better thank God that the President of the United States is trying to stick with these Jews. And I got news for you. If the rest of it gets any better, then you better hope that he gets in again. I ain't telling you how to vote. We got good sense already, no. But here's what it is these Jews, if you turn against them, you sign your death warrant. And God blessed Abraham, and he said, I'm going to bless them to bless you, and I'll curse them to curse you. You got a curse on you. Well, this earth's already cursed. You don't need another one. You be good to them Jews. Best thing we can do right now, this virus, is take up a love offering and send Israel. Come buy some airplanes. Get you some more ammo. Get whatever you need. Buy this. We just send you a love offering. We need rid of this virus. Amen. He said, well, it won't get rid of the plagues. It got rid of them in Egypt. Listen, when old Moses led them Israelites out of there, the plagues was on them, wasn't it? But let me tell you something, that Abraham worked with God and he knew God. Now let me give you these thoughts right here. In the 12th chapter, look at verse number 1. I'm going to read a little bit. I ain't going to preach on this, but give you this. It says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them to bless thee, and curse them to curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance, and they gathered in all the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan, they came. And Abraham passed through the land of the place of Shechem, under the land of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now look at this. You say, how do you know? It doesn't say walk with God. I'm showing you. And there, he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the east, the west, and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now notice this. Abraham had his wife Sarah with him, and he had his brother's boy, Lot. And he goes into the land of Canaan, and journeys toward the land of Canaan. And then he goes on and he gets to Bethel there, and he builds altars unto the Lord. They said, what kind of altars? The only kind of altars he knew, prayer altars, he's praying. He spent time with God. He was trusting God. I want to show you something dangerous. when a famine comes, like things going on right now, people go crazy. You know something, listen, let me tell you the best thing you can do. If something like this was here, that's right now, sit still. Sit still, wait on God. Watch God. Just keep the altar of good and hot. Don't move. Just sit still. People run crazy. They're doing a bunch of things. They're experimenting. Don't do that. Mother, keep doing what you know works. You say, what happened when the famine hit? Keep praying. Keep this and that prayer time. Keep your Bible reading. Keep all that. Keep all that going. Now, let me show you, when the famine came in the land, Abram went down their stand into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said to Sarah, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As good a man as Abraham was, I'm going to tell you, wasn't perfect. He's a good man, great man, great man. But let me tell you what he done. He should have waited for that altar when he never left her. You say, how you know? I'm showing you right now. And he looked at his wife, and this is sweet. He said, you're the prettiest thing I've ever seen in my life. You're a fair woman to look on. And the Bible said she was, verse 11. And he said, therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife. And they'll kill me, but they will save thee alive. Well, my question is, if you go down there and get killed and somebody gets your wife, what's going down there for? Does that make any sense? Hey, I ain't going down there. I don't want them to have my wife, and I don't want dead. Hey, and you say, well, it was a famine. Let me tell you something. God done told him he was going to bless him. And let me tell you something, friend. When God is telling you he's going to bless you, that means that there's going to be groceries in the cabinet. That's what it means. God's going to feed him. God was going to take care of him. All he had to do is just keep that altar hot. But the famine came. Famine's going to do some crazy things to people. So he goes down to Egypt. Now look at it. Therefore, it's come to pass that they'll see him and say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me and save me alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake. And my soul shall live because of thee. And it shall come to pass when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptian beheld a woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. The woman was taken in Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake. Now, everything Abraham said, you're going to have nothing. As soon as he got there, they said, boy, that's a pretty woman. And the servants, they said, boy, she's beautiful. So, wasn't a little bit, she was at Pharaoh's palace. And Pharaoh entreated Abraham well. Verse 16. He had sheep, oxen, asses, men servants, and pay attention, maid servants. And she asked her camels, and the Lord prayed to Pharaoh and his house, a great place because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what has this thou done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why says she is not my sister? So I might have taken her to me that wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Now, let me tell you something. You know, mopped up down here? Abraham. He was rich when he got there. And brother, he's made out when he got his being out now. I mean, he's wealthy. He left with more sheep and more servants and gold and silver and everything, and still got his wife. And left, and still got his life. And he leaves. Now we show what happened. And Abraham went up out of Egypt. You tell me the whole purpose of going down there. Let me tell you, it wasn't enough. He went down there for it because there was a famine. Now look at it. And he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Now Lot was with him, and he observed all this and saw it. And Abram was very rich. Now, when the Bible said very rich, it don't mean you're doing all right. In cattle, silver, and gold. That means he was a very wealthy man. Now look. And he went on his journeys from the south. See, that's the way he'd been. Now, of course, he's going. Even to Bethel. That's where he started from, isn't it? Unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. Now, let me tell you what he did. He figured it out and missed it. I'm going back. Now let me show you what he did when he went back. Unto the place of the altar, which he had made at the first. Revelation chapter 2. Went back to his first love, went back to his first altar, went back to the prayer closet, went back where he's supposed to go. Abraham got back on track. I'm going to show you something. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He had a prayer meeting. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and kings. Well, Abraham had so much. He said, Lot, you've got a good nephew. I'm going to bless you. So he just gave him plenty of sheep, oxen, anything he needed. And now, brother, you got Abraham that's unbelievably rich, and Lot is rich. I'm going to show you what happened. Abraham goes back to the altar. Everything's okay. God had grace on him like he has on me many times. Spared him from his foolishness. He went back to the place of the altar. Now, I'm going to show you something. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. The Canaanite, the Perizzite dwelt there in the land. And Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife. You know what? Man's got a prayer altar. Ain't no fun. He don't want to get into all that. Anybody wants to fight, scrap a long time later, they don't pray. And they're not in their Bible. And he said, there's no sense in us fighting. And he said, it's not the whole land before thee. He said, separate thyself from me, verse 9, and thou will take the left hand, and I'll go to the right. And all of this. Now, if thou depart to the right, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And look at it. That it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the word of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose of all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Now, I want to just show you what's happened here. Abraham, and I'm going to show you moms and daddies the danger of journeying away from God, away from your prayer time, and walking on this one, show you something. If you don't get nothing else about this message, I'm going to show you something. Abraham knew God. He knew what it was to be plugged into God. He had a prayer altar. He knew God face to face. He spoke to God. He knew God. Well, in the famine, he lost his way a little bit and went down into Egypt. And God had mercy on him down there. And he got killed and lost his wife and family. Lot could have killed everything that happened, but it didn't. He got down there and God had mercy on him. Well, he gets to think, I wouldn't have gotten to think if I stayed at home. So what does he do, Brother Johnson? He heads back for Bethel, house of God. Is that right? Land of bread, house of God. He goes back to the bread, back to the Bible, back to the prayer closet, and he goes back. Well, he goes back richer than he came. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not going to tell you that you can't leave out of here and maybe go somewhere and make more money. I got a man right now, think about a man right now, that left my church and moved. And he was already a high up in a corporation where Zach made more money than he needed to live. He was living very well. I'm going to show you something. And he came to my office one day and he didn't say, Pastor, what do you think about this? He came in and made an announcement. I'm moving and I'm going another state and then wife moved. Man broke my heart. I cried. Listen, I'm crying. I made you go. Wait. Somebody told me something on what Facebook they call it. Here a while back with a drink in his hand. I don't know the good man. Knows better than that. Dad's a preacher. I was sure what happened. That boy knows better. He knows better. You know what it was? He went down there. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to pay for it. I'm sure he's going to pay. See, he knows better. Now, he might get straightened out because he knows where he ought to be. And I'm going to show you something. He's going to pay. See, what you do is when you, mom and dad, take your children down into Egypt, and you take them down there, you're introducing them to things. You're saying, hey, son, look at this. He's never seen it. See, Lot would have never seen Egypt and Sodom. He would have never seen any of that junk down in there if his uncle hadn't left his paralytic. See? And he took him down there. And, but then he got to thinking, I ain't finished. I'm going back. But let me show you something, see? That here's the whole deal. Lot, it never said, and Lot went back to his altar. You know why? He never had one. You know why? Abraham was walking with God, Lot was walking with Abraham. So wherever Abraham walked, Lot walked. The danger is this. When you take them down there and they smell the perfume of Egypt, and they've seen the Rolex watches in Egypt, and they've seen the money in Egypt, and the big houses in Egypt, and the money that can be made in Egypt. See, you said, but Lot had money. But look, it don't matter. He wanted more. Now, if it had good sense, and I've said this here before, what it had done is him and Abraham they'd have called all the cowboys together. And I said, now boys, this is the way it is. It's our ranch. You're riding for us. Fix the fence and Brandon cattle and sheep and all the rest of it. Let me tell you something. If you can't get along with him, you get on your horse and you pick up your wages and you can ride to Dodge. Get anywhere you want to go. I don't care where you go, but you can stay in here and fight and fuss and we'll put up right here with Christians. Amen? But Lot said, I can get richer if I go back down there. So he said, I'm leaving my uncle. The uncle's the one that had the power of God and had the, and he should have said, you know what, bless him, how did he get like that? I tell you, got like that. He had a prayer altar and he knew God and he walked with God and God was blessing him. Son, you got blessed because you was around him. But you could get blessed too if you'd know the same God. And now he was barely saved. Lot was saved. I know he was saved. Now, not by his testimony, but because the Bible said it wasn't Peter. Called him justified by God. So no, he wasn't. He didn't have a lick of testimony. You know why? He didn't have a lick of altar. He didn't have no walk. Saved, yeah, but sins. Barely got, I mean, but barely got out of it. Sorry, barely. When God destroyed it. But he got introduced to all of that stuff because his uncle took him down there. His uncle had enough spirituality to know, I need to get back to my altar. Mom and Dad, be careful about trips you take and things you introduce kids to. You can't go out here and leave God. You better walk daily with God. Go with God every day. Keep them kids plugged in. Keep you safe. Don't you, in some family, if you sit right here, you wait on God, you pray. God will feed you in Columbus, and he takes as good a care of you right here as he can anywhere. You don't need to be trotting off somewhere close to here. Well, they're starting a job now. Well, there's others. You just sit still. And by the way, I'd rather have my kids and my family in a good church than be a good job. Under a man of God, that you've got. So you listen to that, tell you the Lord's word. Let me show you something. Abraham didn't get out of this thing. Easy. It looks like he did. It looks like he just got stuff. Okay, go back there where it says better what old Pharaoh gave. See what he gave him. Look there in the end before he gave him for Sarah. Look down verse 16, chapter 12. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he has men servants. Look, you see, it says the maid servants and she asses and camels. See that? See that maid servant? Let me tell you something happened one day. Old Abraham God done promised him a boy. Told him he's going to bless his seed, his sand of the sea and the stars. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a son. Well, Sarah wasn't right. And she said, you know something, Abraham? Don't look like God's going to do nothing with me. Why don't you just go on in there and say, Hagar? You know where Hagar come from? You want to know where he got her? A little vacation into Egypt. That's where he got her. You ever tried to figure that out? What's coming? That's exactly where he got her. On that trip. Well, and so Sarah took her for a maid, and Abraham listened to Sarah. And let me tell you something, I value my wife's opinion. I value it. So don't you leave here and say, I said something I didn't say. She watches me. She's kept me out of a lot of problems watching me. I love my wife, and she's, and God put her there as a helpmate, and she's helped me. I listen to her. Let me tell you something, ladies. Let me tell you something, ladies. Look right here. You know where you come from? You come from right there. And that's where you're supposed to be, not out there. You're supposed to be right here. That means beside the man. That's where God brought you out of. Beside, not up front. That's good preaching if I am doing it. That's good preaching if I am doing it. When a woman gets out front of the man, he starts coming. Just what you need to do. See, Abraham always said to sweetheart, wait a minute. You're discouraged. Wait on God. We've learned to wait. I should have waited. We shouldn't have gotten that family. Let's wait on God. So what God did. See, you know what happened? He went down to Hagar, and that's where your Arab nation came from. That's why you're right now, it's all this terrorism. That's why 9/11 happened because of Sarah. So when you get to heaven, say, sir, you made a mess September 11th. And Abraham, you did too. And you know what they manufactured? A wild man. Now, God loved him, and God blessed him, Ishmael. Yeah, he loved him. And now Ishmael couldn't help him. But Abraham could help him. First, he didn't have to go down to Egypt. Second, he didn't have to listen to Sarah on that deal. That's the truth. That's where she comes from. So anytime you take down, you go down to Egypt, something's coming back with you that you shouldn't have brought. Anytime you go to Egypt, something's coming back with you out of Egypt you should not have picked up. But Abraham walked with God. Lot walked with Abraham. The reason Lot lay into Sodom, he had no altar. Abraham had altars. But the man, when he got, and he knew he wasn't right, and he said, God, save me, buddy, out of this. I mean, I'm going to get back out of here. I'm going to lose my life. The king's going to kill me down here. I'm going back. And Richard said, I'm going back to my altar, back to Bethel. But when Lot went back, I'm going to say, he went back with his machine and cattle and all that. No altar. So when Abraham said, go where you want to, guess where he went? Oh, I like that down there. Prettiest grass I ever seen down there. Oh, you talking about water. You talking about grass. Yeah, there's grass all right. If you look close, it was a godless bunch. Men exceedingly wicked. And you know what? If Lot loved his family, he said, you know what? I ain't taking my girls down there amongst all that bunch of them. And tell you what kind of shape Lot got in when him, I really destroyed him with devotion. I just finished my Bible thing and started back doing it over there. And in my devotions, I read this morning where them homos come knocked on that door. Banging on the door and said, send them angels. They didn't say angels. They send them men out that we may know them. And he said, I got these daughters here. I've never known men. I'm going to send them. You know what I've done? How about that 870 mine? Put the double oak buck in it, and I was working on it in the chamber, and I'd had that thing about that far for their nose, and I'd walk up there and I said, let me tell you something, buddy. You can touch that doorknob again, I'm going to put you on your back into the street. I'm going to blow your head off. You touch these angels, or you touch my daughter. I might go to jail, but I'm going to put you somewhere you'll never get out of. You better not touch them. You get out of here, you say. And if Lot had been sober, he probably wouldn't have been to Christ. You say, well, every Christian has that attitude. But let me tell you something. You've got to protect your family. And Lot should have never turned to his daughter and said, you know, my girl. And, well, Johnson, I mean, think about that. That's my shape, isn't it? You say, well, was he saying? Yeah, he was saying. Just an old bang bang. Yes, sir. And let me tell you right now, and brother, not at the end of the story. You read what he done up there in that cave and so on. That drunk and then the girl, father of his own grandchildren, that's unthinkable. But you know where it all started? When he had no altar. Abraham walked to see Abraham survived. You know why? He had an altar. Abraham was plugged into God. Lot was plugged into Abraham, but not even real good at Abraham. See, let me tell you something. This man gives you stuff every week from the Word of God from this pulpit. And you ought to love him and honor your pastor, love your pastor. But wait a minute, listen to me. He's trying to get you not to get plugged into him, but to be plugged into God. Because one day, every preacher in America that's here today, if the Lord carries his coming, will be in heaven. See, here's the problem. And I'm going to finish preaching this time. I'm going to go to Listen. Let me show you something. Who have you plugged in? Who are you walking with? See, let me show you something. I've got heroes. I think it's safer for you if you don't. I've had Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Jack Hines, Dr. Curtis Lacey, Dr. Tom Malone, Dr. Carl Hatch, Dr. Bobby Robertson. On and on, I could go, I'll just keep going. Oliver Green, Frank Norris, the one I never knew. On and on, Jack Hudson. Harold Simon, right? I'm just keep going. I just keep on going. Some of them died today. Not Pastor Frank Kent. But listen to what I'm telling you. I walked with them then, but at the same time, I walked with some of them and read their books and went and heard them preach and even had them preach for me. Just to, outside of Frank Norris. Everybody, I just listened to you. I didn't have my pulpit. Many times. I've heard them all. And Dr. Robertson, 21 years in a row. Dr. Jack Linder, Brother Oliver, Harold Sankler, many times. Dr. Howard, many times. On and on, I go to Carl Hatch, many times. Joe Boyd, and on. Curtis Hudson, Jack Hudson, Bobby Robertson, so many. All of them, many, many times, listen to what I'm telling you. When I got the news, Dr. Howe was down with Brother Johnson. I was on Highway 64. He was supposed to preach that morning at the bus conference in Walker County, North Carolina. But he was having that surgery. I was going to see a man that day. He had been a bus captain man. He was back soon. He left his wife and another woman. I was on my way over, so my heart was heavy in the head. Heart was broken. And I was driving up that highway. And old Bill Burrow called. And he said, Brother Dale, and I said, yes, he said, Brother Howells is in heaven. Brother Manny, I pulled over there on Highway 64 at a low ball park, low ball down there. And reached in my back pocket and pulled out a handkerchief. Sat there and cried like a baby. Just sat there and just wept and cried. And just squalled and cried. And then, after finished crying, I wiped my eyes and blew my nose. Put my handkerchief back up. Tears running down my face. Couldn't hardly see how to drive over this trouble. Went and gone what I was headed to do. Broken hearted, yes. But wait a minute. Brother Howells was a hero of mine. But I had my own prayer altar and Bible time and my own convictions. And I had my own faith. So when Brother Howells went to heaven, I went to his funeral and walked out there and went down. I'm going to keep doing what I was like. When Lee Robertson died, I went. Curtis Hudson died, I cried. Carl Hatch, I was a Paul Bear this year. I don't want Carl Hatch, just Paul Bear. I preached Bobby Robertson's. I didn't know that it would be in the kingdom, so I preached his funeral. I preached Bobby's funeral. A legend. I cried. I I still cry. But now let me tell you something. I got up this morning and got on my knees in that old motel over there and said, "Oh God, I thank you. You're alive today. And I thank you that you're the all powerful, all wise, all knowing, almighty God and my Heavenly Father. And I know you today. And you love me, and I need your wisdom today, and I need your power today, and I need compassion today, and I need you today." And what I'm trying to tell you, I thank God for my hero. But when my heroes, we want glory. I got to keep moving. This is a battlefield. Let me tell you something, neighbor. Listen to me, I'm done. If you're talking, a woman probably got to go to pray for certain needs that she had, one of our members. And I gave her some verses of scripture. That's an easy bit, the good verses to help you. And Brother Bell said, "This will help you." And these are some good verses. And I gave her some verses. She prayed with her over the phone. She got ready to hang up. She said, "Preacher, thank you." She said, "You're my rock." I said, "Oh, hold on, please. Oh, listen, I'm not your rock, and if I am, that's your problem. I ain't nobody's rock." I said, "Half the time, I'm struggling. You better get on the one that Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church." He's talking about himself. He wasn't talking about Peter. Peter stayed backslid half the time. And he's a great man. But that was the problem with the disciples. When Peter said, "I go fishing," they said, "We're going with you." You know why? They plugged into Peter. And Jesus had to get on the shore and said, "Hey, have you any meat? Children, have you any meat?" "No! Come on and dine," he said. He had fish on the fire already. You know why? Brother Manning, he had to get them back on track. Peter, love us, allow me. You know, he had to get Peter back on track. When he got Peter back on track, the rest of them got on track. And they did. They got on track. But they had to get their own orders. You can't run off of somebody else's field. Because let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm done. I'm through preaching. I went real on that. I'm done. I'm through. Brothers and sisters, we'll get out to it. Look. This is a battlefield. This is a battlefield. Don't roll off your sin about this. This is a battlefield, not a recreation. You see, I think it's not a recreation center, nothing. Battlefield. On a battlefield, there's going to be casualties. Now, let me show you something. There's going to be creatures that you thought hung the moon that will run off with a woman. I had it happen. I had men preach to me that I thought. There's a man, if I called his name right now, he's in heaven now. If I called his name, I heard him preach with Dr. Howells one night. Went to hear them both together. Brother Bell, that man preached first. When Jack Howells was sitting over there getting ready to preach, I leaned over to my wife and I said, "Honey, I'll be honest with you. I feel sorry for Brother Howells. I have to get up after him. I never heard some preaching in my life. I have never heard any better preaching in my life." The guy, by the way, the man preached for me. I've had it. And he's my friend and friend one day. But he messed up. She said, "What'd you do?" I said, "I'm crying." "What'd you do?" I wiped my eyes. "What'd you do?" Blow it over. "What'd you do?" She said, "What?" It was a casualty. You know, when you're on a battlefield, I never was with a Vietnam. I guarantee you, he's seen people get their head blown off that he knew and loved and he deals with and slept in the same barracks. But brother, that is not a license for you to give up. It's going to happen. There's going to be people when this virus is over, they may be people you shouldn't excuse me, but they ain't going to make it to this thing. Well, if they're your rock or you're plugged into them or whatever you want to call them, let me tell you something, you're done. And evidently, you ain't plugged in because you're here. But let me tell you, you don't plug into nobody but God. And you love the Christian brethren, you love your pastor, you love your pastor, you love him, you follow him, you respect him. But the day will come, Brother Bell, the day will come that one of these young men or whoever you choose with the church calls will be a pastor here. And they'll talk about it. Bill Johnson came, Craig Brown came, you was here. All the great meetings we had, just to remember those days. Well, if you was plugged into us, when that goes, I know a man right now selling cars. And I used to go and see him at pastor school every year. And had a great church running buses, and I thought was one of the pillars and fundamentals. But I was by many. He quit. The whole crowd, the church ain't even there. It's gone. Gone. Changed the name of it. Went contemporary. But how the hell is that about? You know what the problem is? They have no altar. Enoch walked with God, and the things would walk with Enoch. Abraham walked with God, Lot walked with Abraham. Who do you walk with? Father, help us today. Now, Lord, this ain't much of a message, but we are so thankful. In Jesus' name.